I could put a title to the message that I'd like to share with you tonight, it would be God's plan for a man. Today is Father's Day. I'm glad we have these days, because what it gives us is an opportunity to review God's plan for us. We're in a time where the lines are blurred anymore of what God has for each of us. And we're living in a time where this word, I never knew it a few years ago, transgender, where people are not satisfied with who God made them to be. They want to change that. I believe June has been given to be Gay Rights Month. Not satisfied with who God made me to be, I want to change that. And sometimes I wonder, do people ever take a look at the Bible and say, I'd like to know what does God think about these views that were taken? And how did we ever get here from a few years ago when we never knew that this kind of wickedness could ever even exist? And I see why, and I'd like for us to take a look at it. In Romans 1 and 28, it gives us a little picture. As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, when we're not willing to see what God gives us around us, we're not willing to see God in that. It says he gave them over to a reprobate mind. This one says he gave them over, but there's a few verses on up where it says, 24th verse, God gave them up. You know what I think what we're seeing today is where God has given some people up. You know, in our nation, it's true there was wickedness years ago, but you know what, I believe that we had a reverence for God. The leaders of our country had a reverence for God. We see a lot of that changing today. And I think what we're seeing as a result from it is it's a fast decline, because God is able to influence people. They don't have to be even Christians. You know, there were people that were not even Christians years ago, but they had a reverence for God. Even if they didn't live for him, there was a certain respect that they had, a fear of God that they had. And these verses tell us, you know, we get to a place that we don't retain God in our knowledge. I don't care to see God in the things about me. I'm going in the direction that I want to go, and nothing's going to stop me. When God pulls back his hand, you know, we find places where it says God did some things to Pharaoh to where he just would not believe. Whenever they would tell him, if you don't let us go, this is going to happen. And he just would not believe. And it almost makes it look like God was making him do that. But you know what I believe what happens is, when we come to a place that we won't let God lead our life, and he just pulls back the places that he could influence our life to follow after him, then I can land in one of these categories. And I'm watching this happen to us today. And now it's not just enough for us to tolerate that lifestyle ourselves, but we're expected to accept it. Everyone is expected to accept it. There is a verse that I want us to start with before we get to what I want to share with you. In Romans 3 and 3, it says, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What if we find people that say, I know science, and I know now that God makes people, you can just change the gender that you want to be, no problem. What if they don't believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. Yes. I'd like for us to always remember those scriptures, no matter how far the world goes in a drift. Let's remember something. God's going to be true. And every man can be a liar if he heads off in another direction. In the very chapter that gives us so much hope in the Bible, it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you know, it goes on down just three more verses, and it says, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." You know, it's happening all around us. But you know what? I still have a hope for America. And here's what my hope is. That there's just a few people compared to the population in America that's making a whole lot of noise about all these things. I just still have a hope. There's still some families, whether they're Christians or whether they're not, that they have a respect for how God made them to be, and they're doing what they can to follow that role. This is where today is an important time for us, I think, to stop and look at the plan. What was God's plan for a man? And there's a verse that is very important, I think, for the times that we're living in. It's 1 Timothy 6:6. It says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, you know, that's talking, a lot of that is talking about temporal things, whether we have money or whether we don't, contentment. But I believe that applies to what we're talking about tonight. There is a song that the children used to sing, "I want to thank you, God, for making me, me. Lord, I'm thankful just how you have made me to be. You made me who you wanted me to be, and I'm thankful for that." You know, just a few weeks ago was Mother's Day. It was another time for us to look at the plan for women. And almost always when we do that, we look at an example in Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? When you find her, her price is above rubies. You know, in all this, I can see a picture in my mind of this godly woman in the day and time that we're living in. Yes. Walking through all this mist of confusion. She knows where she's going. She knows what her role is, and she's satisfied with it. There's no discontent in her of who God made her to be. And it goes on down in Proverbs 31. This woman is even contented to have to do this. She rises while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. You know, I look back at Mom and the sacrifices that she made, and probably all of our mothers did. When we're sick, who is it that stays up all night and gives of herself to try to help us out? When there was, you know, we always hear the story when there was not enough pie for everybody and all of a sudden they're kind of on a diet or something. I just really don't want it. Y'all go ahead and take it. But you know what? We would see that not just with food, but all through her life, willing to give to others and not begrudging it, but instead just, "I want to thank you, Lord, for making me, me." Well, there's another verse that I want to look at. It's in Mark. Because these lines are getting blurred today. Mark 10:6. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. You know what? And until the end of this world, God will still continue to do it. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so that they are no more twain but one flesh. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." You know what? There's been a whole lot of turmoil about these verses and whether they should really apply or not. But what we're looking at is, what's God's plan for people, for a man, for a woman? And this one still tells us, from the beginning, God made them male and female, and he will continue to do that. You know what? Until the end of time, every child that is born will be a male or a female. It will only be because of distorted views that we try to do something later, because God is in control of all that. I'm so thankful he is. There's a song that I looked at. It says, "We will work for Jesus and adore the plan." This is part of his plan here. when he said, from the beginning he made them male and female, leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That's part of the plan. We'll work for Jesus and adore the plan that exalteth so a fallen race. You know what? Not following the plan puts us back down in the fallen race. Yes. But there's a plan that he had. It says, joining with the Savior, doing what we can to extend the wonders of his grace. We're going to adore the plan that God made for a man. Male and female made he them. No matter how much they try to change it, it will always remain the same. And I'm thankful for that. So when I look at this vision of a godly woman just walking through all this mist with confidence, God made me this way, and I am thankful for that. You know, I also have a vision of a man, a godly man,
yes,
walking through this fog also. You know, there are people today that are even deciding, I'm not sure if I want to be a man or a woman. I think I want to be a cat.
Yes.
And we have gone a long ways. Because I just look at it, come on now, you can't be real. You've got to say, well, if I'm going to be a cat, there's liable to be a dog come. You know, we're living in, but you know what happens is you can play roles in your mind long enough that you believe it. And I think that's where we're living today. But this man, this godly man, he walks through this mist with all these people that don't know who they want to be or who they're going to be. And his steps are sure. He knows where he's headed. And you know what? It's because he's following the plan that God had for him. I'd like to go to a verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 4 and 18. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just, this godly man that is walking through all this confusion, knowing where he's headed, this light shines more and more to the perfect day. Yeah. You know, that is so much better than the verse that says, men love darkness, yeah, rather than light. This just man, he loved the light. And as he goes, the light increases. There's a song that we sing. I saw it. There are beams of brilliant sunlight. You know, we need light on our path to show us the direction to go. Along the holy way, where the weary pilgrims travel in the dust, they are happy as they're nearing the land of blissful day because they're walking in the pathway of the just. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes, because we can find throughout the Bible, God has a clarity about him. In Ecclesiastes 7 and 29, lo, this only have I found, God made man upright, but they sought out many inventions. When we look at that verse, God made man upright, does that give credence back to when they say we came from a monkey a long time ago, now he made us upright? No, it says what it did was he made man innocent in the beginning. And then along came man. You remember the song that says, I think maybe they attributed it to Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. And we're seeing the results of doing it my way in the world around us. I saw over in Genesis 6 a picture, and I'd like for us to look at that picture for just a little bit. You know, we think it's wicked today, and there's not many people that are living right. How would you have liked to have lived in Genesis 6, where it says the fifth verse, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented God that he had made man on the earth. And he planned to destroy it. But what did it say? In the middle of that wickedness, when there, it says the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually, one man was found,
yes,
Noah. walking through all of this mist of confusion, says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Yes.
He wasn't tainted by the wickedness that was around him. And I wonder today, can that be said about me? Can my name be put there in Noah's place?
Yes.
Dan found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In a time of great wickedness around us, when the pressure is on for us to yield. Remember where it says in Ezekiel 22 and 30, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge for my people. You know, he's just desiring one person to be willing to do it. I sought for him. You know what he says there, with all that seeking, I didn't find one. But you know what, he's looking for a man today. And it's not that we're not thinking about women. The time for that was back on Mother's Day and the role that God had for women. But I think it's very important for us as a man to take a look at what God has for us. There used to be a sign that I would see sometimes. It said the Marines are looking for a few good men. They're not out to just get everybody. They're not out. In fact, they kind of made you think, okay, I might not be one that could even qualify. They said, we're looking for a few good men. I think God's doing the same thing. God's saying, what I'm looking for some good men. And character is an important part about that. A man whose character is not affected by the polls. If in our world today they tell you, we just took a poll, and 95% of the Americans are for this lifestyle, what would I say? I say, I must be the 5% because nobody called me about it. But to be able to live this life, that if they said, you know what, we're up to 99% now, there is nobody left, you better go ahead and join in. No, what we'd be able to say is like Noah. You know what, Noah by himself found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he was faithful. We won't have to go it alone. But you know what? I want to be one of those men that is able to, though the pressures are applied for anything out there, that I would be able to say my eyes are fixed on the Lord. It was a place where, I want to look at this one. You remember in Joshua? Joshua comes down toward the end of his life. Did he work off of poles? You know what, when he went over and he was one of the spies, he and Caleb were with 10 other spies. They saw the same thing that all the other 10 did. They saw the giants, they saw the walled cities, but they had different visions of what it would be. Because they recognized, you know what, we are grasshoppers in our sight to them. Except for one thing, if God helps us out, what'd they say? They're bread for us if God will help us. And Joshua held that throughout his life. And he's coming down toward the end of it now. And he puts out this call to him in the 15th verse of 24th chapter of Joshua. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Did he say with that, I tell you what, after y'all have all decided, you come let me know and I'll decide which way I'm going, because I want to be with everybody. He says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Got a decision made. Here's how I'm going to live. You ever read in 2 Samuel in the 23rd chapter? It gives us a list of David's mighty men. I'll tell you what, you talk about the Marines looking for a few good men. David had some good men. Here's an example of one of them. In 23 and 9 of 2 Samuel, it says, the Philistines were gathered to battle. The men of Israel were gone away. You know what, if you're the one left, you would want to go away also maybe. But it said there was a man named Eliezer. One man, did he run and hide because all the others were gone? This is what it says about him in 23 and 10 of 2 Samuel. He arose and fled. He arose and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. He had fought battles so long with his hand gripped to it, instead of throwing it away, it was like it was stuck to him, fighting the battle. And then it goes on to say, and the Lord wrought a great victory.
Yes.
In that same chapter, it says that David got to thinking about the water in Bethlehem. And he said, I tell you, because as a boy, he probably got him some drink out of that well. And he said, oh, if I just could get a drink out of that well. Well, it looks like that'd be easy enough, except that the Philistines held that city at that time. And three of his men decided, you know what, we're going to go and get it for him. You know, these are just men that would hazard their life for another man. And it says, I just wish there was a way to have a little more detail about how they got it. I can't imagine they said, look, we'll give you $50 if you'll give us a little water back again. I think somehow they held them off to where the men said, look, if water is all you want, you take whatever you want. And they were able to go with it. What does that have to do with us today? You know what? There's going to be some things come against us that's going to make it tough for us to be a man of God. But there is a verse over in 1 Corinthians. Because you know what? If they could do that for David, what could we do for the Lord? 1 Corinthians in the 16th. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong.
Yes.
How does that reference right there, how does a man quit? When does he quit? Quit you like men, they don't quit. They're going to do whatever it takes to finish up the job. And you know, I've been reminded of that when Brother Marty would tell us his story about having the house, and right next to it was like a boulder, and he wished he could add on to his house, the house he had before maybe, but that boulder was going to be way too hard and way too expensive to do. And said there were two different times. In one of them, when he was a boy, his dad had the same thing. There's a boulder in the way. And his dad would chip at it through the day. And in the evening when Brother Marty would get home from school, he would take 5-gallon buckets and haul the rocks off the little pieces until his dad finished it. Well, Brother Marty said time passed and he had his own home and there's another boulder. And it's not worth the effort of doing. And his dad came over and went to pecking on it until he took it out. This one, quit like men. You know, we're going to have some difficult times come to us. And the best thing that we can do is be a good example for others that I quit like a man, which means I don't. You know, one thing I need to recognize is who the enemy is. I remember Brother Stanley telling us he saw somewhere this little commercial or something where these boys said, I have recognized the enemy, and the enemy is me. You know what? Self is the biggest enemy that we're going to face. You know, we can hold out against others. We can do good of saying no to the evils around us. But what we're going to have to realize that, you know what? My flesh is what I'm going to have to conquer. There is a verse in Ephesians. In Ephesians 6 and 10. It's saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. And let's skip the 11th verse for a little bit. 12th verse, here's where the enemy is. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it says also in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal,
yes,
but they are very mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what those strongholds many times is? Self in my life.
That's right.
I can look out at around at others, but when I turn the searchlight inside, this is who I have to deal with if I want to be able to have victory. It says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, even to the point of bringing into captivity the thoughts. The direction that I let my thoughts go, I bring that into captivity. You know what? That's victory when I'm able to do that. There is another story that I want us to think about. It's in 2 Samuel, the 10th chapter. Joab was one of David's captains. And he's going to come up against an enemy. And that enemy has hired others to fight. Joab recognizes when he comes up to battle, he sizes it all up. And he sees that the enemy is split. To when he starts fighting one, the others are going to close in behind him. So I said, he tells his brother, here's what we need to do. Let's split up. You take a group and I'll take a group. We'll start fighting these two, but here's what we're going to do. If I start losing, I'm going to call out to you for some backup. If you start losing, you call out to me for some backup. But what I liked about that is the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. Here's what he says. Be of good courage and play the man.
Yes.
What a thought right there. You're just trying to play tough. Play the man for our people. Because you know what? If we lose this battle, we're going to be servants to somebody else. Play the man. What does it say on up there? Those that play the man, they don't quit. They keep on until they get the victory.
Amen.
I compared that to Gideon. You remember when the Lord told Gideon, said, you've got too many men in your army. So, and the enemy was already at the most that Gideon had, I believe the enemy was 5-1 against them. There was already so much of a contrast, there was no way hardly he could win. But the Lord said, you've got too many. You know what? David's army had been seeing all that too. I believe they had already been able to compare who they were against the enemy. And David told them, said, okay, if there's any, they had 32,000 against, I think it was about 135,000 people on the enemy side. And he tells his men, I tell you what, if you're afraid, you can go home. You know, what a contrast to this of Joab and his brother. Be of good courage and play the man. We're not talking about, I might fight a little bit and then I'm going to get tired and I'm going to go home. No, we're going to fight this battle until we win. In Gideon's, when he offered it to him, 22,000 people left. You know what? I want to be in 2023. We need to play the man for our people. Play the man for our families. There's a song we used to sing, no ground, we're giving up, no ground.
Yes.
We have a cause,
yes,
we're fighting for. Devil, we're not going to take no more.
Yes.
No ground. We're absolutely, positively, glory bound.
Yes.
We're not giving up. No ground. You know, Micah 6 and 8 gives us some instruction for a man. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God.
Yeah.
You know, walking humbly with God happens because I know some things. I'd like to look at some of those things that I know. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, you know, in our homes, in our families, there's some things that I need to know. In 11 and 3, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. You know, it's easy as a man, as a husband, to forget that, and I move on quickly to the next one. The head of the woman is the man. But you know what? Above me, I've got a head. Who comes first? It says the head of man is Christ. And what brings a seriousness to me is, there's a verse over in 1 Peter 5 and 4. It says, when the chief shepherd shall appear. Now that's talking about ministers being very careful of how you work with the congregation, being a shepherd to them. Always keeping in mind there's a shepherd above you that's going to come back and take inventory one day. I believe this is an example for me in my home. Yes, I'm the head of the woman, but I must always remember I've got a head over me, that I will have to go out and I'll have to give an account someday to him. So how do I regulate my life? This is instructions for a man, for us. I want to go to another place in Ephesians. Ephesians 5 and 25. You know, I'm glad that we have Father's Day and Mother's Day, because we're able then to stop and take a look at the plan and what makes it work. At work, I've told you this before, but I work in an office building, and it was built back in the 80s, and I've been there for 33 years. And there are times when I have to go back to the original set of plans, because I'm trying to find, I don't have air on this floor. There's some kind of problem, and I can trace it back and find out, you know what, there's a set of fire dampers back here somewhere. I've never gone to them before, but the set of plan tells me about them. You know, that set of plan caused everything to be able to be put together to make that building work. I don't know how they did it. The plumbing when it was put in, the ductwork to serve that building when it was put in. Some of these fans are not just a blower like your home furnace. Some of these fans are in fan rooms that may be 100, 125 feet long. And just this one set of fans will do like 150,000 CFM. It's huge ducts that are so big that several guys can get inside. We've had to go in them before looking for fire dampers that have fallen and can almost walk through them. How did they get a plan that could put everything together to where it would work? Because you know what, you could run the ductwork. A lot of the ceilings on the ground floor, you can't even hardly lift the ceiling tile because it's full of ductwork. And then I say, well, who put in the first thing first? If you put in the ductwork and then the plumber says, well, that's bad, now I can't get the plumbing in. So they had to design that thing to where everything would work. What I found out with that set of plans is some of them had revision. Why? Because he didn't realize this duct is going to be in the place of where this plumbing line needs to be, so we've got to make a change on it. And at the very end of it all, I've got one that says, as built. We've done all the revisions, and this is the last set of plans that's been done exactly the way it is. God never had to make a revision.
Yes.
He will never have to make a revision. It is as built. Here it is, right here. This is as built set of plans. He gave it. It worked back then. It works today. All I have to do is give myself to it. Ephesians 5 and 24. As the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I love that verse. Women, y'all need to obey in everything. But you know what? That reading doesn't end there. The next verse tells me how that can come about. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And then there's just a few little words at the end of that. He gave himself for it. That is the secret for the verse that we want to have happen so much in our lives. Husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. And then over in Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He took upon him the form of a servant. You know what our best success will be? When I want to be a servant in my home. You remember how it was talking about the Proverbs 31 woman? She rises at night to give meat to her household. And it didn't say in the next two verses, and she complained so much about it, she said, this is a tough life. No, she was so happy with how God made her to be. You know what I believe? When we follow the plan, we will have success ourselves. It says in Matthew 20 and 28, Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but he came to minister and give his life for many. You know, when I come to the place where I say, you know what? Success comes when I die to myself. Then I really can have success. There's a song that we sing, I love to serve my Jesus. It's a privilege so sublime. Could I also make a song that says, I love to serve my family. It's a privilege so sublime. You know, I've known of people before that had the attitude, that a man that had the attitude, I'll tell you what, after I have gotten what I want, then if there's anything left, then y'all go ahead and enjoy it. This is something altogether different. There's a verse in John 12 and 24. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. You know, we see that happen in real life for a gardener. If you had a kernel of corn, but it's in a jar, and you have not planted it, it will always be one kernel of corn. That's all it will be. But it says on this one, if it will fall into the ground and die, it's going to bring forth much fruit. You know, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. Boy, those would be some great things to have in a family. They can come when the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. When we die to ourselves. You know, we're living in a time today where it would be real easy for me to measure myself against the world and say, I'm doing pretty good.
Yes.
Folks, it says if we measure ourselves, we're not wise. They that compare themselves among themselves. In the day and time that we're living in, with the wickedness going and the decline going so fast, we can no longer measure ourselves by the world and say, but I'm still doing pretty good. I'm going to have to take the word of God and say, Lord, would you show me how I can please you with my life? As we give ourselves this more fruit, much fruit, starts coming out, and we're the winners for it. There is a song that I'd like for us to sing in closing. We need to remember we're not wrestling against flesh and blood.
Yes.
We're wrestling against powers, rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places, things that are wanting to affect me. What should we do from it? Does it say, I tell you what, when it gets that bad, you better run? Is that what the examples that we looked at in the Bible, did they tell David, I know you want to drink, but I tell you what, we're going to find us a spring around here or something, because I'm not risking my life for it. Didn't run. But what we need to do is put on the whole armor of God that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We can do it. I'd like for us to sing together number 271, because this song, I believe, applies to men and women. It says, stand up for Jesus. The trumpet call, obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Who are we fighting against? It's flesh, my flesh, that I'm fighting against. Ye that are men, now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger. When I see the danger increasing, may my courage also increase, because I'm not fighting this battle alone. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. I think of that one man when he stood up against the Philistines. He's by himself, but he does have one sword, and he uses it until his hand is stuck to it, but he didn't throw it away. He continued using it. We're living in evil times. We're living in times where I think the world is expecting, well, let's put enough pressure on it and people will accept it. No, we've got a cause we're fighting for. You know, and it's not carrying a sign around at some of those places. But what it is, you know, it tells us how we fight this fight. Do we go to the senators and tell them how bad they are? You know what it says? Pray for those that have the authority over you, so that we could lead a quiet and a peaceable life. You know how we can do the best for this? Let's pray for those in authority. With the direction that we're going, this world is going, I still have a hope. I still have a hope that the things that we're hearing about is only a few people making a whole lot of noise. I'm hoping that there's a lot of people in the United States that still have a reverence for God. And if it's not, you know, Noah didn't take a poll and he said, I got to find out. If I'm here by myself, you remember when David took a poll? David came to a place that said, you know what? I want to know if I have enough men. So when I hear that 135,000 is coming against me, I know how many I have to fight. You remember he sent his captain out to get a number. Here's how many you have. The captain told him, don't do it. Why? Because he knew about, probably had heard about Gideon. You don't need a number. You just need God. And that's the same way with us. We have examples of it. Noah did it by himself. He built on that ark for over 100 years and preached to the people, an example to the people. May we each one do the same thing. I want to be able to have success. I want to quit like a man.
Yes.
Will not quit. I've got to make heaven my home. And I desire your prayers.